To be, I'm gonna tell y'all right now, this church is gonna be straight up bold. Y'all get ready to be persecuted, praise God. Y'all get ready for people to talk about us, talk about we are name and claim the church, we're a prosperity gospel church. Y'all get ready for people to accuse us of that, okay? And my pastor in California, because miracles were happening at the church that we were at in California, and the church was growing, and so some pastors in the community were getting jealous. You know, I was there when it was like 100, 150 people, and it blossomed to over 500. Because people are gonna go where God is, where God's power is being demonstrated, praise God. Yeah. People are tired of the dead religion. They're tired of just going to church, hearing a nice pithy sermon that don't change nothing in their lives, and then they go home and they feel like, well, I did my obligation. Some of them just say, I forget that, I can sleep in. I've been working all week. I deserve to sleep in, praise God. People fed up with that kind of stuff. They want to know God is real. And so it's our job to talk about the reality of God and the fact that God cares enough about people. But my pastor was preaching these things, and miracles, notable miracles were starting to happen in this church, and people were getting healed and set free and everything, and deliverances were taking place. And so he started getting accused of witchcraft by the local pastors around him. They accused the man of witchcraft. Well, listen, y'all. Don't think that you are better than your master. They did the exact same thing to Jesus. Because Jesus had a successful miracle ministry, the Pharisees and all their dead religion, only thing they could do was accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the prince of demons. And Jesus had to let them know that Satan cannot cast out Satan, or he's destroying his own kingdom, praise God. Amen. So they attack Jesus, they're gonna attack you and me. So y'all gonna have to put you're gonna have to get rid of the sensitivities and the easily hurt feelings and stuff like that. They're gonna talk bad about us. They're going to talk bad about me. They're going to talk bad about you because you come here. They're going to say things about us. So y'all get ready. Praise God. But you know what? It's better, as a secular artist once said, whether they talk about you good or whether they talk about you bad, you better be glad they're talking about you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. A pastor friend of mine is over in England, he and I are very good friends, and his ministry's really growing over there, and we both started our ministries around the same time. But he wrote me and was complaining. He said, Troy, he said, the local newspapers here have been doing a nasty job on me lately because of the miracles and stuff that's been happening here. I said, you ought to be happy about it. I said, you were getting, the way his email sounded was, oh, poor, woe is me. I said, man, you better be glad. You're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Bible says that's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. 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 So, the thing is, we should not expect to be liked. Praise God. Amen. We should expect that God is going to move and people are going to come. People who truly want God, who want to experience God. And so people, of course, are going to get jealous. They're going to talk bad about us. And we're going to continue to believe God, and we might as well stay bold about it. Amen. 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 It's either this. We got two choices. We can try to play it safe, and this church never goes anywhere, and you'll continue to see this. Or we can be bold about it up front and in your face about what we believe, and God will say, hey, they're not afraid to speak for me. And God begins to bring the rain in, baby. Okay. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather suffer the persecution, y'all.
Amen.
I'd rather suffer the denigration. I'd rather get less invite. Well, I don't get any invites anymore right now. I'm telling the church. But I'd rather get no invites than to be here and continue down the road, continue down the road where we see nothing happening. Praise Jesus. And I mean, when I see that my best-selling book, it's a book I wrote way back in 1997 when I didn't think I knew anything. I thought I knew a lot back then, but then as I got older and I realized I didn't know nothing. But back in, I wrote this book, Divine Healing Guaranteed, way back in 1997. And I didn't think that this book was going to go anywhere. And yet, it's selling like hotcakes, praise God. It's hardly a day I go by when somebody hasn't bought a copy of the book. So we know that people are looking for a God who is real and who does real stuff, praise God. Amen. Amen. And so we might as well preach it, we might as well proclaim it, and we might as well let people know that this is where you're going to hear it. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to Jesus. We're going to continue in our series that miracles are for today. Won't you stand with me? Let's hold our Bibles up in the air. Let's pray together. I'm not going to keep you long. Let me see. Oh, we got these 15 minutes. All right. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is devil destruction power.
Devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
It's my Bible.
We can defeat the devil.
We can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will for my life. Whatever says I am.
Says I am.
That's what I am. Whatever it says I can do,
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I
claim it.
In
Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, to preach your word. Lord, we thank you for notable miracles happening as a result of your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 You may be seated. Glory to God. Turn with me to our foundation text. John chapter 14, verse 12. I've told y'all before, it's just too late for me to go back on what I believe now. First of all, I've seen it in the Bible for myself. It's so clear to me in the Bible that it would be difficult. It would take serious compromise on my part to deny this. Glory to God.
Amen.
The fact that I even held out on talking a whole lot about some of these things over the years has grieved. I felt grieved in my heart about it. But I've decided no more compromise. No more trying to play it safe so I don't offend people. No more middle of the road. Now, we're not going to intentionally offend anybody. Hallelujah. We're gonna love. We're gonna walk in the God kind of love, because if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, miracles and love go together.
Amen.
But what I'm saying is that we're not going to bend and give in to other people's desires and doctrinal issues and stuff like that. Well, you know, brother, God may work miracles today, but that's not necessarily part and parcel of the gospel. Well, that's you. My Bible tells me different. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but don't even think you're going to come in here and preach that, because that ain't happening here. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. As soon as somebody says something like that, goodbye. Step down. Ushers! Escort that man. Hallelujah. But 14:12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, that works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I explained to you a couple weeks ago that that the works here are not talking about works of feeding the poor, even though those are works we are called to do. Praise God. God wants us to feed the poor. Jesus said that he's going to judge people for what they do for those who are hurting, as though they had done it to himself. Praise God.
Amen.
In other words, when you go before Jesus and he says, when I was hungry, you did not feed me. And then you're going to say, well, when did I see you hungry and didn't feed you? Jesus is going to say, whatever you have done for the least of these, you've done unto me. Praise God. So those are works Jesus expects us to do. He expects us to feed the poor. He expects us to give our money to missions. He expects us to be missionaries ourselves, praise God.
Amen.
Not all of us are going to travel to foreign countries, but all of us do need to be missionaries in our community And we do need to support missions overseas, praise God.
Amen.
But all of these things are not what Jesus is talking about in this particular passage. In this particular passage, John chapter 14, verse 12, when he talks about works, he is talking about miraculous works such as healing and deliverance and other notable miracles, praise God. See, because churches don't preach this often, a lot of people get confused when they read passages such as this, and they say, well, what works is Jesus talking about? How can I do greater works than him? But the natural interpretation of this passage, when you read it, you can understand that it's talking about miraculous works, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. But we already looked at a number of scriptures that talk about that and prove that that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Hallelujah. And then we saw that God does not change. And if he doesn't change, then miracles are still for today. There are a number of preachers who have, there's a couple of views out there right now. There's a John MacArthur, I mentioned his name because I wrote about him in my book, Miracles Are For Today. But John MacArthur, good man. I think he's a good man. I think his heart is right, praise God. I don't judge people's hearts, praise God.
Amen.
But it seems like he has this, he and a number of people that follow him has the idea that God simply stopped doing miracles when the last apostle died, praise God.
Amen.
Others will tell you that God only, he stopped doing miracles after the full revelation of the Bible came into being, and God no longer needed miracles anymore. He simply needed people to read his word. The miracles were there only to attest to Jesus Christ, but after you got the written word of God, then there was no longer a need for miracles. You know, I don't think I would have read the Bible unless I had seen some miracles, praise God.
Amen.
I needed Jesus to show me that he's real. And then when he started showing me that he was real, then I began reading this book even more. I mean, I read it when I was a kid, but I didn't understand it much. But it was after 1984, when I had just gotten married to a woman that was pregnant, praise God.
Amen.
That shit, I tell you, I was a sinner, just like you are. Just like you were, not are, praise God.
Amen.
Once we gained Jesus as our personal Savior, we became saints. We no longer sinners. Somebody said, well, Pastor, aren't we sinners saved by grace? That's a man-made saying, that's not a God-made saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm serious. You won't find that in the Bible. See, if you are saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. You are a saint. Now, do you sin? Many of you still do. Yes, I do on occasion too. I don't sin as much as I used to. But I don't declare myself a sinner anymore. Praise God.
Amen.
The Bible says I've been sanctified. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. Whenever I call myself a sinner, then I'm saying that the work of God, the blood of Jesus, didn't do me no good. So I've learned to declare myself a saint in spite of the fact that sometimes I still fail, praise God. But see, when I was out sinning, me and my wife was out sinning, and she got pregnant, I had enough conscience to say, well, you know, at least I need to marry this woman. And so I married her. Now, I love her, praise God. I love her back then. I don't think we could. This marriage wouldn't have lasted close to 30 years if we didn't love each other, all right? And so it wasn't just one of those things where we just rushed into it, but you know, we sinned, and she was in Japan. I was on my way back to the United States. I figured I need to marry her. I love her. I care about her. I don't want this girl here being fatherless. There's enough fatherless children over in Japan and other places like that. So I decided I didn't want my child to be born fatherless. But, see, being a sinner, I wasn't prepared. When I got back to the United States, I wasted all my money on stereo equipment and all the stuff that young men back then do. I mean, I bought all the great grand stuff, and I hardly had no money. I didn't have a driver's license, a United States driver's license, that is. I had a Japanese driver's license that wasn't being honored nowhere in the United States. I didn't have, because I didn't have any, I was young, didn't have any car insurance before, they was going to try to charge me an exorbitant amount, and they wanted me to pay it up front. They couldn't give me no credit. And speaking of that, I couldn't get credit anyhow. See, back then, you can get credit so easily now. I mean, you can be in debt and still get credit now. I mean, but back then, credit was hard to get. And especially for somebody that was only 21 years old, it was difficult. Okay, add that to the fact that that because of my military rank, I had to get housing, at least at the time, off the installation, which means I had to pay first month's rent and security deposit and second month's rent. I ain't had that kind of money. I had no money. Add that to the fact that my wife was getting pregnanter and pregnanter and wouldn't be able to fly to the United States after a certain amount of time. And so she needed to get her visa and passport, and the Japanese government was giving her a hard time about that. And even when she got all that, she needed the money to fly to the United States. Add that to the fact that when she got to the United States, and the fact that I didn't have a house or a car to pick her up from the airport, and when we did get a car and a house, I needed to get furniture for the house. I didn't have any of that. None of it. I was in hurting status. So I began to cry out to God. And I told God, I said, help me. I believe you're real. Help me. I wish I could tell you the story. But God began to move. God began to move.
Amen.
Yes. He took the impossible and made it possible. My wife sent me a letter. Let me know that her visa and passport had been approved. Amen. And that was fine, but now I was going to get to the United States. But I managed to somehow find some money and send it to her. And you get her here, praise God.
Amen.
And I get her here a lot because her mom's going to kill her.
Amen.
First of all, find out that she was married to a black man. That's me. That. And a black man in the United States. She was in serious trouble, so I had to try to get out of there alive, praise God. That was the other thing I prayed about. And so, but then God was able to bless me with the money to get her. Then God opened the door where they had the person who did the loans had mercy on me and decided to give me a loan for a car, praise God.
Amen.
And then not only that, she introduced me to an insurance company that would allow me to do installment payments, even though I never had insurance before. So she introduced me to that. And I said, praise God, I can get a house. Oh, yeah, and my boss helped me to get my driver's license. So the car was in the bag, the license was in the bag, and my wife was coming. But now I had to figure out where was she going to live. God opened that door.
Oh,
I went to the military housing office to see if there was some way they can help me get a house off the installation, off the base, in order that I can, and maybe there was some assistance or something they could give me in order to do that, some financial assistance. And when I went there to talk to them, and she looked at my arm, and she said, aren't you an E4? I said, yes. She said, she said, airman. See, I was senior airman, but they told me airmen could not have base housing. But she said, you're an E4, you are a senior airman. So as a senior airman, you are allowed to have base housing. Praise God.
Amen.
So, solved the problem of the house and the car, and then God opened the door for me to get furniture for the house. Praise God. Amen. And then he blessed me with the money to buy food so that my wife can eat when she got there. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God worked in such a miraculous way. Whereas at one point, I had nothing and didn't know what to do, and I was worried, sick, and out of my mind on how to deal with this situation. And then God, in just 1 week, turned everything around to the point where I could not deny him. And so that Sunday morning, I went to church and couldn't wait for the preacher to shut up so I could run up to the altar and give my life to him. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I gave my life to Christ that day, July 22nd, at the 11:30 service. I don't remember what time it was, but it was 11:30 service. And that from that day forward, 1984, I decided to stick with him. Because I said, man, if God would do all of this for me, and I wasn't even serving him, I was living in sin, I wasn't even doing right, and yet he would do this for me, man, I would be an ungrateful lot to not serve him anymore. So I gave my life to him, and I've decided to stick with him since, and it's got betterer and betterer since then. Praise God.
Amen.
Have I had trials? Oh, plenty of them. I've had plenty of trials, but I tell you, God has been good, and he's gotten me through it all. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. I do not regret giving my life to Jesus. But see, what happened was, it took God working miracles on my behalf in order to get me close to him. And help me to see that he's real. And that's what with the sinner, we're just simply going to have to do that. And intellectual arguments can only last so long, praise God.
Amen.
Fear, telling them that they're going to hell when they die, is only going to last so long too. Because fear wears off after a time. How many of y'all have been here when we watch those movies about hell? We've seen these testimonies about hell. Them things scared the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Made me say, I don't want to go there. I want to keep living right. But you notice that there's some people who watch those videos that still ain't here, that have left, and some of them are in sin today. Because that fear wears off quite easily after some time. I remember some years ago, I was on the street sharing the gospel with some people, and I had this track. And I mean, it was a scary track too. It had Satan's picture or a likeness of what's supposed to be look like Satan, big red devil on it with grinning teeth and a bunch of fire in the background. And I mean, he's just grinning, and the big letters said, hell, 1,000 degrees hot and not a drop of water. And I was just giving them tracks out to people, most of them could care less. But one guy, I gave the track to, he looked at it, he started shaking. He's like, man, I'm scared now. I said, well, man, why don't you just give your life to Jesus? He said, I ain't ready for that yet, but you're scaring me. I said, well, if you're scared, I said, just turn over to God. He can save you from this. Well, I really don't want to do that right now, but I'm scared. See, fear don't necessarily always win people. But the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I have been scared. See, I'm just like that guy. I was scared of hell the majority of my time before I got saved. Praise God.
Amen.
When I first heard the gospel truth, I mean really heard it, and the guys asked me, if you were to die today, where would you go? I said, hell. And they said, well, Troy, let's pray. I said, no, not yet. I need to get my life straight first. They said, Troy, just get saved, man, and then you'll get your life straight. I said, no, I can't get saved like this right now. I'm a mess. And so the next couple of years after that, every morning I'd be so scared. I said, God, please don't let me die. I don't want to go to hell. But I'm not ready yet to give my life to you. But don't let me die and go to hell. Oh, God is merciful. God is so merciful. He never let anything happen to me. He waited for me. Praise God.
Amen.
What a good God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. So notable miracles taking place in people's lives is what's going to change people's lives. Praise God.
Amen.
And see, that's why I tell you, miracles are for today. That's why we're going to preach this so strongly. That's why we're going to teach this so hardly. And we're going to teach this until our faith is built up to where we are, where without the supernatural, we'll think something's abnormal. Praise God.
Amen.
Right now, we think it's just normal not to have any miracles taking place in our churches. Oh, how sad that is. There's some churches, when I was in Japan, for example, Japan, it's pretty tough to win people to Christ too, but if I was to compare where I was at in Okinawa to where I'm at here in Rhode Island, I would say Rhode Island's way tougher than Japan, praise God.
Amen.
I mean, at least when we were in Okinawa, we saw miracles almost on a consistent basis. There was very few Sundays where people didn't get healed. I mean, sometimes I would just, one time I was just, you know, I had preached the message, I was just tired, and all these people came up with an altar call. I didn't feel like praying for them. And like one guy, he had a cold. You know, he's sniffling. So I asked him, what do you want? I need God to heal me. He healed in Jesus' name. I just walked on into the next people just getting rid of me. You know, I wanted to finish. This next week, the guy said, got up and testified. He said, you know, I had a cold and I was really sick. And Brother Troy just touched me and prayed for me, and God instantly healed me. I didn't have a bit more faith than the man on the moon. But God was doing miracles left and right for people, praise God, around that time. And so we, you know, I came into Rhode Island, and I'm seeing, man, you know, it's almost like dead sometimes. I mean, I'm talking about the churches that are charismatic and believe that God does these things today, and yet we're going to these churches, and we're hardly seeing any signs and wonders. And it just bothered me. Was that Mars?
I said it still happens today.
Yeah, that's right. It's supposed to happen. You know, then when you get the occasional miracle, you get so excited. Whoa, glory to God! You know, I mean, you should get excited over God. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But we should see a lot more than what we're seeing now. And so we're going to keep preaching this truth. Jesus, when he preached the gospel, it always followed with signs. Many of you from Africa and places like that, you know what I'm talking about, because you've seen God do great things. And then you come here and wonder, what's wrong with these Americans? They about dead? Someone don't even want to worship God? What's that? What you got, Mars?
You remember when I had a pain in my shoulder, my neck?
Oh, yes.
And you pray and mother rubbed the oil on it. I know I have no pain up to the day.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
But it still happened today.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see them here at this church. Just we don't see them as much as I think we should.
Yeah.
But thank God that we see them here. I mean, just like Sister Evangelist Judy, when she was coming here to preach a couple months ago, and she said, you know, at the time, and she was struggling to even come here because her leg was like hurting her, and she's dragging that leg. Yeah, but she had made a commitment to come here to preach, so she said, I got to do it anyway, but my leg is in pain. Thank God she didn't call up and say, well, Pastor Troy, I can't make it. Can I make it another Sunday? She said, when she started walking up the steps, she said the presence of God hit her, and she was healed by the time she got to the door. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So God is doing things at this church, but we've got to spread what God is doing to the outside. It's the miracles, not just for us. They're for us, but they're not just for our benefit, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, God wants to heal you just because you're his children. The children, healing is the children's bread, glory to Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
But he also wants them to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Amen. And one crumb from God has the power to heal and deliver and set people free.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's why, see, it's easy. Most pastors, and I know what this church is going through a test right now, because most pastors would have given up by now. And don't think I hadn't wanted to. My wife will tell you, there's been many days I've said, you know what? why don't we just have one more service? Let me tell everybody I love them. Thank you so much. Please don't, let's not lose contact with each other. And then close it down. Let me just move on. I'm selling books. People love my teaching in other parts of the country. I can just travel. My ministry won't be over if this thing's closed down, praise God. Yeah. But every time I think that, God brings me right back. And not only does he speak to me personally, he always, always, always confirms it with somebody else. Praise Jesus. I mean, just like one time, I shared this with y'all before, me and Sister Taco was talking, and I told her, I said, I'm done. I'm going to resign. I'm done. I'm finished pastoring this church. And as soon as I said that, man of God called me up and said, Pastor Troy, the Lord tells me you're trying to quit. He said, don't you dare quit. The Lord told me to tell you, you stick that. He called you to do that. You stick with it until he does what he said he promised you he's going to do. Amen. Praise God. I mean, we go through all these things, and I can tell you more, but it's just like even last Friday when I went to the revival, I don't go to any of these revivals expecting people to pay any attention to me. I just go there to support the revival. As soon as I walk in, the Spirit of God is moving, and the man of God looks over at me and says, Pastor Troy, it seems like you, every time we have a move of God, you walk in here, and now God has something to say to you. And he says, God told me to tell you to concentrate on the prophetic and healing. And those are the same things God has been speaking to me about. But I've been trying to stay away from the prophetic. I just like the healing part. But God told me that. And then after the service was over, I walked up to Evangelist Judy because she goes to that church, and I'm hugging her. And I said, I'm hugging her. And she starts shaking. And I mean, she starts shaking really hard. And so I'm trying to hold her. She's falling all over the place. And the power of God had hit her as soon as I hugged her. And so she fell down, and some of the ladies were helping her up. And then she was getting up, she's woozy. She says, Pastor Troy, grab my hand, please. So I grabbed her hand, and she says, Pastor, the Lord he's showing me a vision of you. And he's saying, books, books. I see pages, pages upon pages. The Lord told me to tell you, you stopped writing because you weren't getting all the reviews and stuff that you thought you should be getting. But he called you to do that. She said, you keep writing. You keep doing what the Lord told you to do. Praise God.
Amen.
And so when you hear these words, when you get words of like that from God, and you didn't even ask for them, when you get some stranger all the way from Texas who never met you before, didn't even know you were on the phone during a prayer line, and I'm on the prayer line, this pastor just comes on, and they asked him, oh, Pastor so-and-so, we're so glad you're here. You have any words for us? He said, yes. I came on this prayer line, and the Lord told me there's a man of God on this prayer line. He said, do not give up your vision. I was the only other man of God on the prayer line at the time. He said, the Lord told me, do not give up the vision he's given you. You hear these things, and you can't give up. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Why do I share this with y'all? Because you are part of what God is doing here. And I have to share this with you. God is not telling this to me for me. I'm just simply the leader. He's telling this to me so I can relate it to all of you to encourage your hearts as well. Praise God.
Amen.
That God is going to do something. We need to hear his word. We need to continue to believe God to do the miracles. And then we're going to see the manifestation. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory to God. I know that we don't want to hear all these pep talks all the time. But see, I look back here and I see Faith and Landry, for example. They've been coming here faithfully the past couple of weeks.
Amen.
That encourages my heart. Praise God.
Amen.
And we got the young. We got young people here today.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
God's going to fill this place with young people, glory to God.
Amen.
From all kinds of nations.
Amen.
Amen. And me and Pastor Mary and Pastor Steve, we can chill out a little bit more.
Amen.
We can just do more preaching and teaching, and y'all can do the singing and dramas and all the other activities that come with that young people like to do to serve the Lord. Praise God. Because God likes energy. He likes energy. See, it's us older people that's supposed to be giving out the wisdom. It's the younger people that y'all supposed to be doing most of the work, the singing and the leading of worship and stuff like that.
Amen.
Hey, man, the days, you know, I'm getting pretty big. You know, I can't be doing all this stuff all the time anymore. Pretty soon, I'm already 50. I'll be 10 more years, I'll be 60. And y'all don't want me up there doing this.
You are
the lover. We need some young people up there, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I just want to sit here and clap, and then when it's time for me to get up here and preach, then I can preach. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what I love doing. I love teaching the Word of God.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't do much teaching today, it's been more of a pep talk today than teaching. But I think sometimes we need these occasional or at least thorough, consistent pep talks until we can really get encouraged and move on to doing the works of Christ. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
So, but do your part. If you can grab some pliers, do that. Or even, grab one of these papers and kind of circle our advertisement and throw it at somebody. Say, have you ever read this? You know, kind of bend the page where our advertisement is at so they can look at it. You know, I mean, that's little subtle ways of sharing with people both the gospel and inviting them to your church and things of that nature. You don't have to be aggressive about it, because if you're aggressive, then they think you're coming from an aggressive church, and nobody wants that. But, you know, continue to show people love, continue to just let them know, you know, I really had a great time in church today. I sure wish you would come and visit sometime. Praise God. Just let them know, you know, think well of your pastor. I mean, you know, I say this because I listen to some of my family members sometimes. And I ask them, so how was church today? You know, the pastor just acting all silly today, this or that, you know, talking bad about pastor. And I ask them, why don't you go to another church? Well, I've been in this church for so many years, I don't feel like jumping around. That's good that you committed to the church, praise God.
Amen.
But you need to be committed to your pastor. I mean, if you're talking about your pastor like a dog, I ain't going to go to your church. I mean, you know, you sound to me like your church, you know, my pastor's kind of stupid. You want to come to church with me next Sunday? No. But if you think well of your pastor, that's not saying you think of your pastor as God, praise God. I don't qualify for that. I don't want that. I don't want to go to hell because I'm being worshipped, praise Jesus.
Amen.
The worship only goes to God. But you should think and highly enough of me and respect me enough that you like coming here, and that you like coming here so much that you enjoy my preaching, my teaching so much, and the love that I share with you, that you want others to experience that too. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I think we've gone over our time.
Won't you stand to your feet? I didn't mean, I'm sorry about going over the time, but just had a few things that was on my heart that I felt needed to come out. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give God some worship. Hallelujah. Let's tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Just lift your hands and begin to thank you.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. Oh, we worship you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Listen. Pastor Mary has said that we want to start having intercessory prayer on Tuesday. I guarantee you that that's the missing element in a lot of what we're dealing with right now. And unity, pray together, be here. Try to be your best to be here at 5:30 on Tuesday. I'm going to make every effort to be here on Tuesday at 5:30. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Let's believe God together. Because all said and done, prayer is the key that's going to make all this happen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. And I think God is just waiting for that and a few other things that he asked me to do that I got to get done. But all together, the prayer is the number one key to make this all happen.